Welcome to chapel this morning, the first observance that we're having of Advent, which begins on Sunday. You have in your hands a reading from the scriptures, chosen from the lectionary readings for the Advent season this year. If you are part of a congregation that uses the lectionary, you will hear these texts throughout the next 4 weeks. I will read first, and you read the boldface print that's in response. Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also will you know that the kingdom of God is near. The days are surely coming when God's promise will be fulfilled. I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, who will do what is right and just in the land. The Holy One shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. You shall live secure, for he shall be the one of peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Advent, from the Latin word adventus, that means coming, is a season of the church year that includes the four Sundays before Christmas, beginning this coming Sunday. It's been observed in Western Christianity since the late 6th, early 7th centuries. Given the culture we live in, it's hard to imagine 4 weeks before Christmas without a Black Friday or a Cyber Monday or without spending ourselves into oblivion. Advent, however, from its beginnings was never an index to show the health of the economy. It has never been a reason for extending the Christmas holiday, for doing more shopping, more gift giving, more partying, earlier carol singing. Advent traditionally was understood as a penitential season, much like Lent before Easter. It is a time of preparation for the arrival again and receiving yet again the gift of all gifts, the one who was, who is, and who will be forever and ever. Amen. Advent is oneness of past, present, and future. It owns history and prophecy. It enlivens the here and now. It promises the something yet to be. Advent is a time for listening attentively, listening for the song the angels sing of peace on earth, attentiveness to the star that leads to the manger, measuring oneself on the do mercy, love justice, walk humbly with God's scale. Advent aids us in getting ready to receive again the birth of Christ in a place of peace. It's one of those places that the Celts called a thin place, a place in which heaven and earth come close together. And we listen, we get ourselves ready, and we get on with the work of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Let us pray together. These are words of John Birch, a Celtic theologian and writer and poet. To you, O Lord, we bring our lives, troubled, broken, or at ease, a sacrificial offering for you to use. Take away our selfishness, and lead us to love as you loved. Take away our sense of pride and show us the meaning of humility. Take away our blindness and show us the world through your eyes. Take away our greed and teach us how to give as you gave. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths that we may walk with you more closely, our hand in your hand, our feet in your footsteps, from the baby in a stable to eternity. Amen. Would you turn in Hymnal Worship Book to number 172? Perhaps the most well-known of all Advent hymns, one that's been around for a very long time, and one that's in a chant style. Chanting has often been a style of music that takes us inward to the central places in our souls, and that's what it does here as well. It invites quietness. We will sing stanzas 1, 5, and 6. I would like the men to do the first stanza, the women stanza 5, everyone 6, and everyone join in harmony on the refrain. Side of the Advent equation, this looking inward, this being quiet, being attentive. The other side is what I would call the side of joy. Joy in what is yet to be. Would you look, please, at number 1 in this same Sing the Story collection, and let's stand to sing this, and sing it with it, as if you were accompanied by banjo and fiddle and bass.
Praise the one who frees the prisoners, turning blindness into sight. Praise the one who frees the gospel, healing every defective.
turn in the hymnal to number 318. When Isaac Watts wrote this text, which in our country became a beloved Christmas hymn, it was not intended as a Christmas hymn, but as a setting of Psalm 98. And for much of its history in Britain, it's been sung at any time of the year as a setting of Psalm 98. So we get around that caveat of not singing Christmas carols early by saying, well, originally it wasn't that way. I wanted to include this one not to get around the caveat, but more for the fact that the verbs in this contain the past and the present and the future all bound up in one. The is come and the will be and all those things, enjoy them as we sing together.
Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs implore. For fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains. Repeat the sound,
this time of singing together with prayer. God, we anticipate the coming of your Son with joy and fear and nervousness and excitement. We thank you for this time of singing together, of proclaiming what we know to be true, of proclaiming what we do every year, that we anticipate and wait the coming of your gift. We ask that you be with us today. Be with us as we enter this final week of studying and grading and hurrying and rushing around, thinking of family and home, that you give us time and space to pause and ponder the gift that you are soon to give us. In your name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.